Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Cosmic Insight. I'm your co-creator host, Hillis Pugh, along with
Rebecca Gregor here. Welcome, welcome, welcome to another fabulous, fun cosmic show, all you cosmic explorers.
Yes, are you cosmic explorer? You're in for a treat. But however, before we get to our amazing guests, just a few announcements. So if you guys are following us, we appreciate you. We love you ever. Thank you for growing our audience and connecting with you on such a powerful level. If you're watching us now, remember to tune in every Friday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific for our Friday night tune-ups. They are a blast. You guys get we never know what's going to happen on the live shows till it happens. I mean, everything from readings to healings to spirit knows what. It's all about that goodness. And in addition to that, oh, go ahead. Yeah.
No, so where can they find us, Tillis? Because you keep track of all that, because you know I'm lost with all that stuff.
They can
Or
find us wherever they are
what
watching
do
this
you have to
right
do?
now.
Huh?
So wherever you all are watching this now, you can find us there on YouTube, on Spotify, on Apple, on Anchor, on the Google Podcast, wherever they can find us.
And Facebook, they can go live and ask questions and interact, correct?
Yep.
Awesomeness.
So you guys got to come play with us for every Friday night, 7 p.m. Eastern, on all our stations.
Wherever we are, whenever we show up.
Yeah, wherever we show up, and you never know who or what's going to show up on Friday night. So you guys got to come out and watch live.
It's kind of a cosmic magical mystery tour.
Indeed, indeed. But now I'm super excited to welcome our beautiful and most amazing guest, Tara Crete, who went from New England to the jungle of Peru and many, many places in between. Tara is an adventurous spirit who has lived in a non-traditional life as a certified life coach, yoga teacher, skydiving instructor, and so much more. She spent her transformational year traveling around and living in Peru, where she resided with the Chipito Indian tribe and had the privilege of experiencing almost 100 sacred plant medicine ceremonies with ayahuasca, huachuma, and with various shamans. Tara lives her life by balancing personal growth, spiritual wisdom, and social action in a fun, loving, and positive manner. I mean, who wouldn't want more from this loving individual? So, Tara, my dear, welcome
Hi,
to the
you
show.
guys. Thank you so much. So good to be here.
Yes. So, my dear, I know what I just mentioned was a mouthful, but you know what really piqued my interest in your bio was that the fact she was a skydiving coach. I mean, like,
Definitely was.
out of all of
That
that,
was
skydiving.
my career for about 7 years.
And when was this?
1999 through 06 or 07. So yeah.
No, I'm asking because that's what my nephew does
Very
for
cool.
his work. So anyhow,
He
love
does? He's an instructor? Oh, great.
Yes.
We have a lot in common.
Yes.
You and
By
I, we already have so much in common. I've only known you for 2 minutes.
I know. Well,
And
2 minutes. We had a little conversation ahead of time.
yeah, we did.
I went skydiving for the very first time this year.
Congratulations. Did you do a tandem?
I don't have a choice. The first, I
That's
think,
perfect.
yeah, the
Yeah.
first four or five, you got to do tandem. But it was such a really freeing and exhilarating experience to where, the first minute of the dive is like, what the heck did I sign up for? What am I doing? What's happening? It's like all these thoughts are running through your head. And it's like parachute opens, like, ah, this is what it's like now.
No, I have to congratulate you because not a lot of people are willing to jump out of what they say a perfectly good airplane. I don't know about you, but not all the airplanes I jumped out of were perfectly good. You ever heard of the word duct tape? There's a lot of duct tape involved in skydiving. But it's a big deal. It's a big deal even just to make one jump. And I always say, if you're just going to do one, do it with a an instructor who's got tens of thousands of jumps. Just go, it's like riding shotgun. So you did the right thing doing a tandem. And maybe you want to progress on beyond that, but if not, you can say you did one.
Well, no, I'm definitely going to do a few more because I actually, you know, paid to sign up for another one, and I haven't done it yet because I've been so busy the past few months with clients. I just haven't had a free Saturday to do it. And, you know, Saturdays are pretty much booked. So I'm like, I got to take a day and just go.
How about I come and pick you up, Phyllis?
I would love to come and go. Maybe I could jump out and swoop you. That would be fun.
I would.
Yeah, it would be fun if we all could do tandem dive. Well, not you, Tara, but we can do tandem dives.
Yeah, I would never do a tandem ever again, but I would definitely follow you out and swoop you down. So.
Fly behind.
I like being in control now. That's what it's really all about. When you're doing a tandem, you have no control, whereas now I have my own, you know, my own gear and all that stuff. Although my gear is out of date, so we'll talk about it.
Yeah, and you know, it really brings up a really interesting point about your being, about who you are, because it's like you have this overarching space of freedom that you want for yourself, and yet you maintain control of your sovereignty, and that's one form of expression of it. You know, it's like, I'm just going to jump out this plane. I don't care who or what it is. It's just me and only me, and if something happens, it's my fault. No one else to blame. And so that's kind of like the theme of your life as it has been.
You're good. We did not talk about this. So you're absolutely right. That word freedom is a very good trigger word for me. And I've had charts done, astrological charts. And the number one thing that comes up is the importance of freedom in my life. So there is nothing more freeing. I've said it many times, as are, you know, many of my friends do who jump. There's nothing more freeing than having a rig on your back, just getting onto an aircraft and being able to jump out. It is. It's a very freeing experience. So I guess You nailed it. You nailed it, Hillis. Good job.
Well, you know, I am just a little bit psychic.
You are just a little bit, yeah.
But, you know, I'm not saying that it came into play here, but who knows?
I think it did. It was good. I like it. I'm impressed.
Well, Tara, I just met you, and I read your little bio ahead of time. That's all I really did. And because usually that's what I do for these shows. But, you know, I just feeling into who you are and just meeting with you, talking ahead, it really excited me. And it excited me on a lot of reasons, just from the presence and the essence and who you are and the light that you shine. But also living in that freedom is so important right now. And being able to say, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go. I don't have to conform to what society says I have to be. And that's what I felt about you. This just like, just go wherever, do whatever, and not give a shit, excuse my French, about, you know, what people say. And, you know, and so that's like such an inspiration. So tell us a little about that and living that way, because I think so many people right now are struggling, like, as we wake up and as things are changing and the world's changing, it's like, you know, what do I do? Because what was is no longer. So living such a beautiful example of living that freedom trail that so many people are waking up to kind of dive into now. So tell us a little bit about that.
Thank you for saying that. And so you guys are hitting the buttons, the nonconformity, the freedom. And I don't set out to be this way, right? We don't set out to be okay. This is just how we are. And I think I've always been a nonconformist. So I told this story to a friend of mine last week, and he didn't know about it. And I probably wouldn't have thought of telling you, but he thought it was such a funny story. It's a short story, so don't worry. When I was living in New Hampshire in 98, I was just embarking on a career in technology. And I was about to make my first six-figure income, which was a big deal in my 20s, you know, back then. That was a really big deal. And I was living in a high-rise apartment and had all the things that you were supposed to have in your 20s. I had a boat, I had a nice car, I had a great job, I had all this stuff, but I wasn't happy. So I ended up deciding to move to Florida, become a skydiver professionally, and literally was going to pack parachutes for $5. When I walked into that office, and it was my friend who was my boss, because he had started this brand new startup company and I was doing really well. And I gave him my notice, and he said, he was like, his jaw dropped. He's like, you're leaving right now. I'm like, I'm leaving. And I never turned back because I knew I was doing the right thing. I was following that free spirit in myself. I was following that, I guess, a nonconformist back then. I didn't know that's what I was being. I wouldn't have even used that word. I just always love following my heart and doing what makes me feel right and feel good. and packing parachutes in the Florida sun in the summer for $5 a pack job. Felt like the right thing to do at the time.
Awesome. Packing those parachutes are not easy. I've seen them do it.
Hardest job I've ever had. Hardest job I've ever had. Won't do it again. Someone just asked me last week, would you ever pack again? I'm like, no. I'm sure I did it.
So. I mean, because in essence, you know, the metaphor to that, because it's also in essence in the way you're also being held responsible for someone else's life in that sense. Yeah. Because if you don't pack the chute correctly, you know, many a thing can go wrong. And so, you know, for us that are in this, that do this work, you know, beyond light workers and healers and all these other things, you know, people often look at us and say that we have other people's lives in our hands. And I, you know, personally turn it around on them and say, no, I don't.
Right.
It's not my responsibility for your well-being. It's not my responsibility for X, Y, and Z. It's not. And so for you to have that analogy that you wouldn't do that again, that also, you know, to me says, you know, another step forward. It's like, you know, I'm taking myself out of the equation. And so with you, oh, she's so pretty.
She wants to be on camera. From her best side.
Hello, thank you for joining us.
Yes.
She likes you guys, I can tell. She's so funny.
Yay. And so with that unconscious or that unknowing, taking that step, moving into the unconventional world then of plant medicine and connecting with all these various tribes, what was that like for you, you know, to move from corporate to be a professional skydiver and now diving and moving into the world of plant medicine?
Yeah. So I love what you just said, but I'm going to tell you my part of it because as a skydiver, we're not responsible. If I hire a packer for $5 a pack job, I'm responsible. If I'm willing to give my life over to that packer, now, do I treat it as a packer? Do I treat it very professionally and very sacredly? Absolutely. Thank goodness I never had anything ever happen under my pack jobs. But it happens because sometimes when the spirit goes, the spirit goes. It could be jumping. It could be any other time. So I really feel like we're all 100% responsible, right, for our energy and for our lives. So skydiving is no different. But the skydiving led me to plant medicine. So I moved to the East Coast of Florida in 98 and became a skydiver. And very quickly, you know, the thing that brought me to Florida, which was a relationship, ended because that was what I needed to do. I needed to be in Florida and it got me there. And then that went away. And I ended up moving onto the drop zone. I lived in a trailer. Does it sound familiar, Rebecca?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, it was honestly so far the best years of my life. I still consider the best years of my life ahead of me, but at the time, best years of my life. Lived in a trailer, even lived in a tent, much to my mom's chagrin, for a little while, and just had a great life of jumping. And that led me to learn about plant medicine because a friend of mine, two friends actually on the drop zone, went to Peru. And when they came back, their stories and their tales of their experiences, I was like, yep, I'm in. When are you going back? So a few months later, I found myself in Peru. That was October of 98.
Nice.
And everything changed after that.
Well, isn't that always the way? You have a friend who tells you about this amazing story and experience. It's like, I got to have some of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when you just know it, you know, when you just know within you, like, I need to do that. Like the three of us need to meet. Like, we just know it. It's a knowing that it doesn't matter if it's confirmed by outer sources. You just have that feeling. And I knew when she told me about being in the jungle, doing ayahuasca, I had never heard of it before. And I was like,
she calls you.
Yeah. The plant spirit called me, and boy, did I need it. Cause honestly, you guys, I don't think I would be alive today if I did not go to Peru. Mm-hmm. And if Peru and the medicine spirit didn't do for me what it did. It took so much from me, and in a good way. And it gave me so much. It gave me way more than it took. But life altering for sure. That's why I asked if, you know, you've had life altering experiences. Because for me, plant medicine, I wouldn't be the woman I am today without it.
Yes, I am. I agree there with the plant medicine. I started as well with Aya, and I was the same thing. I was drawn to go to Peru. For some reason, I just need, as I said, always go to the motherland. So, you know, I had that call to go. If I'm gonna make this step to go down the road of plant medicine, I personally felt like I wanted to be in the jungle with the plant, with the energy of it, to experience that for the first time.
Absolutely. Yeah. When was that?
Six years ago.
Oh wow. Okay. So recently. That's recent.
What? I'm a newbie.
Yeah, and I'm tilting my head because I'm only maybe, you know, a couple of years ahead of you, but it's like, okay.
Yeah.
I say that because it's like this whole parallel. Yeah, but our journeys have been so in parallel. You know that, right? Well, of course you know
that. Oh, I do know that.
An ancient person, because I was doing it when it was not cool. It was weird. People were like, what the hell? How do you even say it? You know, so for me, I felt like I was a lone wolf back then. And so now it's nice to meet someone and be like, oh yeah, I've done ayahuasca. It's becoming a little bit more commonplace.
It is. And it's really moving around the states right now. You know, she's come here and more people are waking up to it and being aware of it and knowing the healing properties of it, which is absolutely beautiful because it is an absolutely beautiful healing plant.
The spirit of the plant. I'm sure you've met it. It's there's no word to encapsulate it. And it's funny because up until last summer, I would not do plant medicine, ayahuasca. Ayahuasca and Wachuma, they're two different things. You know, the grandfather is a different spirit and you don't mess around with it. And I've done Wachuma here in the States. I've actually done San Pedro, grown here, but also grown from Peru and done it in Florida. It's a little more friendly. It feels like a little more forgiving. Whereas the grandfather, I was always, you know, this is why you never say never. I was like, I'm never going to do ayahuasca in the States. Well, I met someone last year at a retreat. I did a Joe Dispenza retreat. I met some wonderful people. And they had someone on the East Coast who was a descendant of, his name was Iron Eagle. He's a descendant of like a famous shaman out West. Mm-hmm. So I went and he had this beautiful medicine. And I actually did ayahuasca in Florida for the first time. And it was really beautiful. It was amazing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So never say never.
I've never done it in the jungle. I've always done it in the States. And you know, when I'm waiting for the day to do it in the jungle, whenever the opportunity presents itself, because once you find a family, it's like you're forever in that family. It's like, and there's no greater experience than when you're with them and you're having that experience. It's like, this is what it is. And just to deepen my own personal experience, and which has helped me, you know, on my path of being of service to people, of being of this light, you know, there was one particular ceremony, you know, a few years ago, where it was you had the shaman. So you do ceremonies so much, and it's like, what's the next level? What's the next level? What else can I do? So for about 3 months prior to ceremony, I was asking, what else can I do to be of service? What else can I do to be of service? And so then the night of ceremony came and the shaman's wife, who I love dearly, walked up to me as we were preparing everything for the night, you know, because everybody's just in. We're all hands on doing stuff, you know, picking incense and doing everything that we need to do. And so the shaman's wife walked up to me and says, Hillis, I have a question for you. So can I ask you something? I'm like, sure. How can I be of service to you? And she said, that's exactly it. And I'm like, oh, yay. And so she pulled me off to the side and she said, Freddie would like to know if you would be the door tonight. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know what that consists of. It's like, I don't even know what that is. And so she said, don't worry about it. You'll figure it out. And I'm like, what?
Is it like a bouncer? Is it like a plant bouncer?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. I was a plant bouncer. And so it really helped me to understand how to facilitate energy. to differentiate what is my energy from other people's. Oh, and yeah. So being the door, the conduit for which the energy flows through.
Wow.
Was such a magical experience. And I've done that maybe about 5 or 6 times, but that was, well, maybe even more, because if you count two, so maybe about 10 times I've done it. And so just being in that space and allowing yourself to be that conduit, to understand the flow of energy, to understand how to weave in and out of spaces like that, is really a gift to behold. And for anyone who ever does plant medicine, I highly recommend that you create a bond and relationship with your plant medicine family to ask them to, if this is something that you can do to be a support of, because they're, I mean, you could talk about, and I have a good ceremony memory, plant medicine memory, but those by far are the best where I am in that role of that capacity.
Nice.
I think the fact that you were asked to do that is really, really impressive. She obviously felt something in you that, because not just everyone can hold space like that. Mm-hmm. And what you gleaned from that, I can't even imagine. I've never even done that. I couldn't even speak English to my shaman. I went to the jungle and they spoke Shipibo in Spanish. I spoke English and French. I hadn't yet taught myself Spanish. I ended up doing it because I went for a month and ended up staying a year. So, you know, who knows, who knew what that was going to happen. But so I had a barrier. I had I couldn't talk to Mateo. I couldn't talk to him. It was universal speak, you know, but he would, at the end of ceremony, he would talk and talk and talk and under the moonlight. And it was weird because something in me understood him, but I couldn't tell you, like my spirit understood, but I couldn't dictate what he was saying.
No, that's how my,
I got some of that.
Yeah.
He spoke Spanish, and Kelly, she spoke English and Spanish. And so throughout the whole entire, I did not understand a lick of anything that he said, but I felt it. And that's the beauty of plant medicine. You feel the energy of what is being dictated. That's with any medicine, any energy medicine. Yeah. You feel that.
Yeah. So true. Yeah, so true. But you had an interpreter. For me, I don't know. I always often wonder. I don't know if I would change it, though. I almost like that there wasn't an interpreter for me. I almost like those early days where I didn't quite understand him. By the end of like 2 months, I could have more of a conversation with him, because every day in my hammock, I had like a sack. This is back in the 90s. So I had a big rucksack with here. Yes. And every time the cab drivers or the people who were picking me up would pick up my rucksack, they'd go, oh, the pesado, this is very heavy. Because we didn't have Kindles. I would have died for a Kindle back then. I was a voracious reader about plant medicine, you know, the molecule. But I mean, there's so many books that I read. And but I would study every day. So as time went on, I would get better at being able to interpret, because after you have ceremony and you can actually talk, you know what I mean, Rebecca? Like when you have this, I always say you have this experience of ayahuasca and it's so larger than life. It's only then that you realize that you can't put into words. We couldn't talk until after like noontime. We couldn't talk because your brain had to whittle down your experiences. So by the time it finally came out in English and in words, it was only a portion of it. You know, you had this massively godly experience that, and it made me realize how limited our language is. I never knew that until I was in the jungle and I couldn't speak about what just happened. There were no words for it. And then finally, a few hours later, you know, the words would come and I'm like, I'm just giving adjectives and I'm describing it, but it's not really what happened because it's so big that you can't do it. There's no words for it.
No. And I love you bringing that up, because I always say that, you know, we're learning right now the language of vibration, and that's what we're moving into. And that word, so that's a perfect example of the feeling and the vibration and how that can speak more than words we've been taught here.
Yes. Yeah, I love that. So maybe we're just a little ahead of our time then.
Energy is so important because it speaks volumes.
Yeah, words are just, they're so limiting.
They are.
They're so limiting. Yeah, I know that now.
I think all the critters are all anxious. You've got your dogs going off. Mine are going crazy. The cat's going crazy. Is the fly still there?
He's all
there.
She likes your energy. She's hanging out with you.
You know, so it's interesting that we talk about the importance of language. you know, because every morning after ceremony, Freddie and Kelly would always look to me and a friend of mine could always look to us because we would be the ones to start up the conversation. And then there were some mornings because I am a poet, writer, speaker, you know, these things are just inherent in me. And so there were mornings, she looks at me and raises her eyebrows. Like, you don't have anything to say? I'm like, Kelly, I can't. There's nothing. Okay. I mean, because it's just the beauty of it. And you know, I'm being reminded to share with you another experience of me being in ceremony. And typically, I haven't shared these out for the world. So those of you watching, first time experience, you guys get to hear about some of my wonderful experiences with the plant medicine, with her herself.
Very sacred.
Yes. And so there was another time where I was expected, or I was expecting myself to be on the door this evening. Freddie was like, no, you sit next to me. And I'm like, oh, okay, what's happening tonight?
This is different. What's going on?
Yeah. And so I was playing the sacred water drum this evening. Mm. And so it's a very sacred instrument. And this is something that has to be earned to the shaman. It's like it's a rite of passage for the shaman to receive this instrument, this water drum. And it's, I think it's a buffalo skin. I figure what kind of skin is on it, but it's a silver bowl and it's filled with water and he puts other crystals in it. And, you know, it's the whole process of tying it. It's a very intricate process, but it's very sacred. And so myself and one other person that I am, maybe two other people that I know that's in the family has ever played this drum other than him and his wife. And so to play that instrument for that night, to be on the other side of the altar, to see the vibrations, the rainbow of colors, because my eyes had to be open. My eyes couldn't be closed. My eyes had to be wide open to play the drum, to see what I was hitting, to see how the rhythm and to see the energy, the vibrations coming back to me was a beautiful thing. And as I'm playing the drum in rhythm, because the beat of the drum has to be played in sync with the heart of the shaman, or who's ever heard is, or who is ever leading that prayer. Mm-hmm. So you know that's a role in itself of playing that instrument in sync in rhythm of the heart, and then on the other side, and seeing the person who is the door for the night, seeing this otherworldly dimensional space open behind them, above them, was like, whoa!
That's a totally different perspective.
That's
to be
awesome.
A little bit more, you know, all the ceremonies I've done, and I've done a lot of them, but I've always been a recipient. Yeah. I've always been a student. I've always been a patient, you know, whatever word you want to give. But you're talking about taking a role, taking a leadership role almost, or practicing that. And for the first time, I can actually understand that would lend a completely different experience. When you get to see, when they're drumming and they're rattling, you know, you just close your eyes and you get taken to another galaxy. But you got to see what happened when you did it. You got to see what effect it had when you were connecting that heartbeat. And that's really, really cool.
Yeah, it is powerful. Funny. Yeah. I just want to add this really quickly, and I want to hear something from you, because I am reminded to share this because, you know, people always think that ceremony is all serious and all got to get in there, dig in and do the work. No, it really isn't. There have been many ceremonies where I sit and laugh all the time, but this one in particular, as I was playing the drum and, you know, it was break time. And I guess what I call a break, but everybody was just like in their space. There was no music playing, and it was just like in between, and just letting the medicine flow. And I'm sitting on the floor, lying on my back, and I'm looking at Freddie and Kelly. Say, look at him over there, just like hanging out, like doing whatever. I'm like he doesn't have anything else to do. And it was like, I'm done for now. I'm just, you know, getting my rest in. And so, but it's interesting because as one who is participating at that level, it does require a bit more attentiveness and energy to that. But what I want to get to, Tara, because this is, you know, about you and I could sit here and talk all day, but I want to know, I want you to share, is there any one particular ceremony that really stood out to you? Like one that, because I know we all have ceremony memories and all of them just stand out, but what one really transformed you?
Yeah, that's a tough one. It's like asking me what skydive was my favorite, but well, I'll tell you, one of the first ones, when I first got to Peru, I embarked on this journey with two other friends from Florida, two other skydiving friends, and we had all these plans. We were going to the jungle to meet with the same shaman that my original friend had told me about, the one that inspired me. So when we had gotten to the jungle, the three of us would, every night, we'd hang up our mosquito nets on the platform. And it was almost a ritual. And we would write in our journal. We'd get real quiet because we were scared at first. We didn't know what the heck we were getting into. And it's intimate. This was for an ayahuasca ceremony, by the way, which is a little different than Wachuma, in my opinion. Ayahuasca the reverence I have for that plant spirit is like nothing else, right, Rebecca? It's a really, really powerful, amazing. So I approach those ceremonies with a little bit more sacredness, I suppose. But back then, I was so new. I don't think I had done one or two ceremonies. And I think it was my second night. And what you're supposed to do when you ingest this liquid, and I don't know of any plant medicine that tastes delicious. So I think you started out saying that. I've never had anyone go, this is so good. I just want to like have a lollipop of it. And in fact, I would always keep a lollipop because as soon as I would take some ayahuasca, I would want to put the lollipop in my mouth because it's such an acrid, bitter, you know, earthy taste. Mm. But after you drink it and you take a while for it to take over. And this is my interpretation of what happens. So the medicine goes in you. And at one point the hallucinogenic portion happens. And I called it the entrance. Again, that's just my word. It was my entrance into this, this experience, which was very geometric and kind of cool hallucinogens behind your eyes, basically. But after that, the plant medicine, the spirit would find something. It would find your block, whatever that is, whatever needed to be released. And by the way, you never really know. I always tried to go into it with an intention. Yeah. Grandfather spirit is like, step aside, hold my beer kind of thing. Like, no, you're not going to be the decider. I'm going to tell you what needs to be unblocked. And then the ayahuasca does its work. And then I start to get uncomfortable and then start to get nauseous. And the nausea is, I love it. I love getting sick on it because what that means is when you go and you release and you vomit, you're not just vomiting, you're releasing a block. It's clearing you of who knows what. It could be disease. It could be trauma. There's so many things, so many like negative emotions. So to me, it's a huge release. Well, this second night, I was so comfortable the first night being in Peru because my very first experience told me I felt the plant spirit winding its way through my blood and it went through my heart and the message. And it said to me so clear as day under that mosquito net, I am part of you now. You are home. And I felt like it was home for me, but I was in a place that was not familiar. Couldn't speak the language. I was in a jungle floor. So home, I felt it in my heart, but my eyes and my ears weren't telling me it was home, but I knew that I was home. But I was confused by that. And I think I was rejecting it. So the second night when I did it, I had this ego experience where my ego said, I'm not vomiting tonight. I'm not going to vomit. Because I didn't understand it yet, of course. I can speak to it now. I understand a little more. I'm like, I'm not going to throw up tonight. Because I thought I was going to be strong and powerful and I was going to like overcome the plant spirit. Well, oh my goodness. I can't even believe I made it through that night. When the nausea came, I talked to it. And I talked it down. So what I was doing is keeping that block in, right? I wasn't letting it out. And I also didn't let the shaman come and help me because I felt so connected to him that it was almost frightening to me. I was like, why am I so connected to this stranger who doesn't even speak my language? And I wouldn't let him help me. So anyway, long story short, by the end of the night, I had crawled down, way down the hill to like the outhouse. And I wanted to practically crawl inside of it. I had such a state where I was like, I'm not worthy of this. I had all kinds of very strange thoughts. And I was on a loop where my friend that I was with up above, she had died. In my mind, she had died, but she was dying over and over again. So I had these really negative experiences where finally they came to get me and three people had to pick me up. I was dead weight. It was like I was actually dead. They couldn't even lift me up. And when they finally did, I think later when I came to, the shaman, I did understand him. He said, "Why didn't you vomit?" And I understood then how the plant worked. I understood that it wasn't about me overcoming the plant. It was not like that. This wasn't real world I was in anymore. I wasn't trying to land a job interview or get a sale or, you know, it was about surrendering to the spirit of the plant medicine. So that night was a night of suffering. There's a lot more to it. I'm going to leave it short and sweet. But now when I look back, I kind of laugh at myself and realize I had no idea. So the reverence began right then and there.
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, thank you for holding space for it. Uh-huh, thank you.
I feel like I should share a story now.
Yes. Come on. Bring it.
Okay, so my experience, actually, I just had two short things. You know, once again, Tara, like you said, when I first, when I first took the plant the first time, I could feel it just moving through my body. And I wanted to get sick as soon as I took the medicine. Like, literally, I was like, really? And I was sitting there going, not everybody's taken theirs yet. I have to wait. I have to hold. I'm like, at least gotta wait till everybody takes theirs before.
Right. Oh, you were fast.
I'm very fast with medicine. I'm like boom, boom, boom with medicine. Any medicine I take, I'm kind of the same way. Right. And I remember just going, we won't tell you what happened afterwards, but you know, but I remember going down and I actually went down there with a broken rib. I remember the medicine after I got through all that nonsense, you know, going right in over to my rib and healed it.
I believe it.
And it was just amazing. And, you know, my experience was very short. Like I had a very short experience with it. I only took, you know, that one serum, those couple times I went that one time and I haven't gone back to her. The reason why is my last ceremony, we were actually doing breath work and, she came to me, the spirit came to me and says, I'm in you. You don't require me anymore.
Exactly.
And that's how fast my journey was with her. And I really, I'm sure at some point I will jump back in, but that was spirit. But another beautiful thing that happened, I actually had the opportunity to take the ayahuasca along with, Narawa.
Okay, I don't know what that is.
She is the tree of life in the jungle, known Narawa. It's the spirit of the tree of life. It's the bioluminous trees that grow in the jungle.
Mm-hmm.
And so the shaman, because I wanted to open up psychically more, allowed me to drink her with Aya. Well, I remember on that ceremony, I was sitting there and I was just feeling this intense energy. And the next thing you know, it was just the most beautiful experience. And I really didn't realize what happened until years later, because that's just how I function sometimes. But I felt two hands in my womb and it was Aya and it was Narawa was just scooping my womb out and cleansing my womb space out. And I just remember, and I started my moon cycle right there. Like it just started right there during ceremony. And I realized they had given me the rite of the womb. Like they had cleansed, both the spirits had cleansed my womb. And I was just like, and I knew what happened, but I didn't know what happened. I didn't realize it till later on. I was like, oh my gosh. Like what I was gifted was just absolutely amazing to have that experience with those two plants just giving me that wisdom and that cleanse.
The word gift is so perfect because it really, mm-hmm. truly is. Like I said, I don't, you had a nice short and sweet experience, which I think is perfect because the plant spirit is within you. You can call mm-hmm. it anytime.
Mm-hmm.
I did so many in a row. I had a lot of healing to be done. I had like, mm-hmm. I had spiritual surgery done on my stomach mm-hmm. every night. This man, he worked for his money. I'm going to tell you what, because back then I didn't have a lot of money and he didn't get it. I gave him what I had, but this man every night, the shaman would open me up energetically and literally just do surgery
mm-hmm.
inside of me and took so much from me that if I still carry that today, I can't imagine where I'd be. So yeah. Gift is the perfect word for that.
Oh, it is. And it's just amazing work that the world is finally opening up to, which is so that the magic that has been here forever.
Yeah.
I know. People now know what ayahuasca is. It's becoming almost commonplace, which I don't know if I like that, but because it was so,
you know, I question that as well, like the heart and the beauty and the gift given to humanity, that people, once it becomes so open, are going to start to abuse it and not use it for its, which sacred. Is happening now in some circles.
Yeah, let's go do ayahuasca. I'm like, yeah, when people say, oh, you did drugs in Peru, you know, I don't take offense because being offended is a choice, but I always like to educate them and tell them, this is not a drug. I've done drugs. I've done recreational drugs, which are really fun. I used to like expanding my mind in that way. This is an entheogen. And the word, you know, entheogen means discovering God or to know God. So it's a very frightening experience because you're confronting the deepest, darkest depths of yourself. Mm-hmm. That's not like doing something recreational, like having a couple glasses of wine or doing some kind of a recreational drug. It takes a lot of courage. You know what you did, if you do one experience or 100 or 1,000, it takes courage every time because you're looking at your shadow self. I mean, times 1,000. So I always commend people. If you make one skydive, I mean, it's like making 1,000. If you do one ceremony, it's like doing, you know, 100. So I'm proud of people that do that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And you know what, Terry, you bring up something very interesting, the stories that both you and Rebecca just shared about your first time experience. You know, mine was quite opposite because I went in and, you know, strict diet, vegan, whatever, you know, super prepared. But what is interesting about this and what's coming to my mind is that, you know, when you do plant medicine, whether it's ayahuasca, huachuma, San Pedro, peyote, whatever, as you move into each experience, yes, each one is different, but the purging or the pain is less because there's like all this level of expectation. But also too, it's like you're free of the blocks, the obstacles, to really sit and allow yourself to be in the center and a space with that. So, you know, as we move through anything, you know, it's almost as if we allow ourselves to expand, as you just said, to with the oneness of the medicine, oneness of the universe, oneness of God, creator energy. And so as we move into that, I think that's, you know, well, not also think, but feel that that's what people are wanting. People who are going to seek this out and the medicine coming to seek them as they are being sought after in that space to say, okay, well, this is what you want. Are you sure this is what you really, really want? And if so, then buckle your seatbelt. You know, it's that kind of experience, you know?
I was never asked, are you sure? It was just like, bam, like a hammer on the head, you know?
I'm gonna do this.
Well, I was being nice.
Yeah. I mean, I think, like I said, we went in thinking we could direct it. We thought we could go in and say, we're going to set our intentions. But after a few ceremonies, you realize you're not the one in charge. But I'm telling you, that's the refreshing part of it, to be part of something that is bigger than yourself and to surrender to surrender your ego, you know, to spirit, to God, you know, insert the word that works for you. Something that I don't have a word for. God doesn't even do it, but definitely there was something else in charge that took control and knew for me what was my highest good, thankfully, because I don't think we always know with our limited mind and our egos, which are there to keep us in check, what is really good for us and what's best for us. So doing plant medicine allows you to be okay with relinquishing that control and just trusting in an age-old medicine. I mean, this medicine is thousands of years old, and this has been growing down in the Amazon. When I first, the very first day I got to the jungle, one of the community people took us on a little tour. And we were in someone's backyard, and I literally was just like leaning up against a tree, and I got a jolt of energy. And I was like, I felt like I had put my hand in a socket. My hand was on the ayahuasca vine, and I didn't even know it yet. So I was already feeling that energy. And he said, oh, what happened? I said, I felt it, and you know, energy. And he said, oh, that's the vine. Because, you know, ayahuasca is made of the two plants, the chakra leaf and the ayahuasca vine. So just putting my hand on it, I felt the power in it. And I didn't mean to. I wasn't looking for it. So there's so much to learn from it. And I think so many of us, it can help so many people. It can yes. access a part of our brain that can open our hearts and open our souls. And I think we do need it, Rebecca. I think you're right.
Yes. And I remember, Tara, saying that you touched the plane. I remember when I flew into Peru and Iquitos, I was getting off the plane and you could just smell the medicine in the air.
Wow.
Like you could just I mean, for me personally, I just smelled all the plants and all the beautiful medicine out there. It was just, it was overwhelming for me. I was just like, wow.
The smell of Peru is nothing. It's like nothing else. Like, Hillis, we'll get you there. I used to take journeys there. I've taken groups, like yoga groups, and we'll go again. But yeah, this scent. Yeah, we'll do it. I mean, you land into Lima, and that's one kind of a smell.
Yeah,
smog, but that's still part of it. Then you go into the land part of it. You know, the jungle or even the Andes, and you have the eucalyptus trees and the scent.
Mm-hmm.
And,
My leaf.
It's an experience. Yeah, here we go. Yeah. The cocoa leaves and yeah.
So I'm being inspired to share this. You know, I've been doing a lot of sharing of personal medicine stories that I've never told anyone before.
Look what we do to you, Hillis.
It's just space for your whole experience. That's why.
Space. Allowing you to express.
You're in a safe place to share it.
Thank you. And you know what, one of my favorite parts, actually two things I want to share really quick, is that, you know, being, you know, going in rural areas, you know, to do medicine, you get to connect with nature in such profound ways that you would have never done so before. So one of the ways that I would connect with nature, because there were bullfrogs around, and I would talk to the bullfrogs. And talking to bullfrogs, some of the most interesting conversations, and telling me how old they are and how they heal themselves and how they do this and do that. I'm like, you mean to me I can do this too? So it's like having these conversations with bullfrogs and trees, literally.
Yes.
You know, it is really profound in that sense. You know, and my relationship with water in ceremonies really interesting as well, because there have been some ceremonies where we just have torrential downpours all night long, and I'm like, yes, you know, super cleansing.
That means frogs. That means frogs come out when it rains like that too, right?
Yeah, they do. and I understood the energy of osmosis and how I can receive the nutrients, the energy, without moving and just being present in that space, because there's a part of a ceremony that we conduct where they pass, we know where they pray over water and then pass it around for us to drink. And I was so thirsty. I was like, you know, she was passing around the water and I'm like, okay, I'm being good. I have to wait my turn. So I waited my turn. And so everyone got the water. I'm like, I'm still thirsty. I need more water. And so Kelly put the cup back in the bucket and said, and I was super tired. I mean, I was just like, ugh, just done. And she said, it's like, anyone who wants water, you're more than welcome to get up and get it yourself. And I'm like, I have permission to get more water. And my face just lit up. And I just sat in on Indian style on the floor, on my mat. And I'm like, water, water, water. And I just felt the energy of water coming to and through my body. I'm like, this is the most amazing thing ever. It's like, I wish I could do this all the time. And it's like in that space, when you are in that space, and I say this to everyone, when you are in that space of connectivity, of that vibration, you allow things just to come to you with ease. And when you allow it to come with ease, it just feels so good that you can't be that, do that, and feel that, you know?
You were one with it. It sounds like it was part of you and you were part of it. And you probably were more present with that water than you ever have been. You know, we drink a glass of water and we don't think a lot about it, but you're talking about feeling it go through you and seeing it and being in the energy of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really neat.
Thank you for sharing that. And what's so beautiful about that, Hillis, you know, we talk about, you know, talking about the plant medicine and the plants are giving us that opportunity to expand our minds and be in that space and that energy that we can be in all the time if we choose to. So that experience you have, we can experience that sitting right here.
That's really true.
Be open to it. And so when we talk about plant medicine, I think it's just plant medicine is another beautiful way to open ourselves up, to expand out, to live in the world all the time of the plant medicine, to be one with the plant in the universe, that we have all these superpowers. We just need to tap into
it. Rebecca, we don't have to wait till we're in a sacred ceremony.
No, and that's what that's what my big message was from Aya when I experienced at the end was, you don't need to take me, you are me. You can you can tap into that anytime. So I felt like I should share that tonight because that's the huge message that was given to me from Aya.
I love it. I love it. It's so true. I forget, you know, it's been years now. This was 20 years ago that I first went to Peru and 10 since I've been back. I've done plant medicine since then, but like anything, time takes over and you forget that, yeah, you don't have to be in a sacred ceremony with a shaman, you know, praying to all the directions and giving you this nasty looking jungle juice to take. It can be just an acknowledgement of the spirit is inside of me. I want to be one with either this glass of water or this conversation or whatever you just saw.
The lizard jumped up on this.
Or trees. I'm a big fan of trees. I love to just lean against a tree or hug a tree. I have that experience with trees, Hillis, that you had with water all the time. Mm-hmm. Like literally
move
all
with
the
them.
Time. What's that?
Do you hold them and then feel the movement of them and move up and down?
I feel it this way. Mm-hmm. It's funny you do this. Mm-hmm. I feel it this way.
Yeah. My body starts going like
okay.
this.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and you brought up a very good point there, and I want to elaborate on it just a little bit more, you know, in how you both so eloquently expressed that, yes, if we are in that space, and we can be in that space if we choose to, if we free ourselves from the distractions of life, but, you know, life is life. You know, we have to live it in such a way to support ourselves and to live what is going to, but, you know, long story short, anyway. what I'm getting at is that why do we use the term plant medicine? Why can't it just be medicine? Because medicine comes in all its forms, you know, the herb medicine, the tree medicine, or the water medicine, you know, it's just medicine that, or nourishment that the body and soul is requesting for you to receive and allowing yourself to be open to receive it, you know?
Or connection to the truth.
Yes.
Not even medicine.
Yes. It's
connection to the truth of us.
Mm. Yes.
So Rebecca, you're saying medicine is a synonym for connection to the truth.
Yeah, that it's connected. Yeah. I mean, what does the medicine do when we take it? It helps clear the blocks. It brings us to the truth of us. So it is the connection to the truth of it's that remembrance.
Yes,
who we truly are.
That's interesting
why you're saying that.
No, that's really it is true, because if you're blocked from that truth, it unblocks you and it lets you be more authentic. It allows you to be more real and more connected. That connection to water, that connection to the trees and to nature. And I agree with you, Hillis, maybe it's just a plant medicine. I think when we say medicine, I think we have a connection to allopathic medicine. We have a connection to big pharma or the medicine you get at, you know, CVS or a pharmacy, where plant medicine is an entirely different thing in my mind. So I like making that delineation. I don't want someone thinking I'm taking some SSRI. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but they're two totally different things.
So I want to turn left here and I have a question for you.
Okay.
Is your fly still there?
No, I was going to say that.
Well, he's here now. So we have a shape-shifting multidimensional travel.
Are you serious? Fly.
Yes, he just flew past my face.
Oh, that is so funny. Like 10 minutes ago, I'm like, the fly is gone now. Oh, I was here when we started. Now.
I love it.
Anyway.
Fantastic.
No, but you know, I understand what you're saying. And yes, I get, you know, the fact that we have to separate the two, you know, have a difference between the two. However, you know, I would really can't wait for the space in society where we don't have to differentiate between the two. Mm. You know, your medicine is your medicine, the medicine that you choose. And so, you know, my medicine, you know, is plant medicine, or my medicine are the herbs that I take every day, or the herbal vitamins and this and that, and being that way, as opposed to, okay, I'm going to go drive over to CVS to pick up my prescription. I'm like, eh.
That's different, you know, medicine.
Yeah. You know, and so, you know, even though some over-the-counter stuff is derived from plants itself, but how, you know, much is it, you know, when you can actually really, you know, do the research, because, you know, we had my dear friend on here a few weeks ago, Chalet, who is all into herbs. And so that's what she does. And so when we go back to, you know, the ways of old, if you will, allowing that energy to come in and to really guide us the way that, you know, the medicine has worked with each of us individually, I can't wait for the whole collective scale to be like, yeah, when are we going to go down and go have a party, you know, and just take some medicine and feel better and connect, you know, because, you know, we talked earlier about, you know, having your family that you sit with. You know, there is such a connection when you sit with somebody who you do medicine with, that it just expands leaps and bounds over anything else, because you know them in a different way. You know them in a more intimate way and manner. Mm-hmm. So just imagine, you know, if half of America, you know, well, maybe even not even half, maybe just a quarter of America did plant medicine all at the same time. Can you imagine how different this country would be right now?
Yes, I can't imagine it. It would be wonderful. Everyone would just clear their blocks and release any, whatever hatred they have. Or I think the word medicine, I think the shaman probably coined it before doctors in the late 1800s or however long allopathic medicine's been around for a little bit more than 100 years. Yeah. I think the plants were the real true medicine. And I think medicine in our day and age has just become pharmaceuticals.
It's the mask.
What's that?
It's adding the mask.
Yeah. It's not curing or healing. It's about covering up. It's about masking. It's about not dealing with the issue at hand. Mm-hmm. And it's about not allowing it to recur. It's about you having to go back all the time. So what you just said before, Rebecca, you can take the plant spirit one time and it's in you. Well, Big Pharma doesn't want that. Big Pharma wants you to come back over and over again and wants you to be a customer for life. So they don't want you to heal that cancer or that broken heart. They want you to keep coming back so that you can make more money. So I think the way we use the word medicine is actually really authentic. And I think originally that's probably what medicine really was, but over the years it kind of turned into something else.
Yeah. Got tainted by greed.
Yes.
Yes. Yep.
So, my dear Tara, we are almost out of time, but I would like to know, can you give us some quick final thoughts about, you know, about your energy, your thoughts about medicine, and where and how people can get in touch with you if they want to know more information about this beautiful light that you are?
Well, I would say that if you're feeling called to do this, don't wait any longer. As the Buddha once said, we're not promised tomorrow. So take a leap of faith. I would say don't let fear guide you. Don't let fear lead your way anymore. I do believe we're coming into a time where we're not supposed to be led by fear anymore. There's so many fearful people right now. And I would say to anyone, if you have fear about doing plant medicine, don't worry. There will be someone by your side guiding you along the way. I'm more than happy to answer any questions. My website is called innergood.com. My email is tarablooms@gmail.com. And I'm happy to talk plant medicine any time of day.
Awesome.
I'm so grateful to have met you too. I feel like we're fast friends and
yes, oh, yes.
Person.
Well, I thoroughly enjoyed myself. So thank you so much, Tara.
Me too. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you so much, Tara.
With friends.
I will see you soon, I hope.
Mm-hmm. You'll see us soon. And thank you, Cosmic Explorers, for watching. And don't forget to tune in every Friday night live, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, to get your weekly tune up. Until next time, everyone.
Mwah. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, everyone.